Because as the saying goes, divide and conquer. But no, we are going to be strong and unified. And we are going to defend our dignity and defend sanctuary. This is my personal opinion.
That's Sandra Lopez, who sought sanctuary in a Unitarian parsonage in Carbondale, Colorado. She is still there. I spoke to her on January 13th, only 2 days after ICE agents arrested the husband of another Colorado immigrants' rights leader who's in sanctuary, Ingrid LaTorre. Her husband, Eliseo Jurado, was arrested by six ICE agents while he was shopping at Safeway in what many consider a targeted retaliation against the sanctuary movement. Well, special thanks to Laurel Smith, Sophia Clark, Dennis Moynihan, and Charlie Roberts. And that does it for our show. Happy birthday to Hugh Grant. Democracy Now! Is hiring a full-time news fellow. Submit your application by February 5th to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio. From the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn.
You know, I often wondered what makes people tick. And then I signed up for classes at Henry Ford College and found out that studying human behavior can be a fascinating field to work in. Starting your education in this field can begin right here at Henry Ford College. For those who wish to pursue a career, advance a degree in a subject, or maybe just want to try something new, Henry Ford College has courses to fit a variety of needs. The social sciences include all the disciplines dedicated to the scientific understanding of human behavior. Social scientists study the patterns of the ways people think, act, and react as individuals and as members of society. Does this sound interesting to you? It did to me. The Henry Ford College Humanities and Social Science Division offers a wide variety of associate degree and certificate programs. To find out more, call the division office at 313-845-9625, or you can visit them on the web at hfcc.edu. The studying of human behavior, a fascinating field to work in and a career that can begin right here at Henry Ford College.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee, Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy.
Welcome to this edition of the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek, and it's been a busy week. The sun has been out, and the moon has been amazing, and we are happy to have you in our listening audience today, right here on WHFR Radio. Alan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's great to be here as well. A pretty decent week. We had a little bit of thaw, but a little bit colder today, obviously. But so far so good as we begin the month of February. And
that's right.
That's going to sort of weigh heavy on our program today. We've got a couple of things we're going to talk about. The return of roller hockey.
Woohoo!
Dearborn Restaurant Week coming up. And also, since we turned the calendar to February, Black History Month as well. All of those topics coming up in discussion today.
Yeah, lots going on. We have some sort of additional discussions on some things that have been talked about on this show a long time ago, as in beyond, you know, year, 2 years. And one of the articles involves the this big outcry in Dearborn about the energy plant that was going to literally affect, you know, families, schools, a lot of people up in arms about this. So we have some new plans that have been officially at least expressed in terms of follow-up information.
And yeah, this is a story that has been ongoing and been talked about here on this program even before you and I became involved with it. I first became aware of it through some of the students that I teach in the broadcast journalism class when this originally became. And this is the, I always thought of it as the Severstal energy plant, but
sure.
The company's changed ownership and all that stuff like that. And we want to thank Andrea Bloom from the Dearborn Press and Guide, who's been doing the reporting on this as we sort of paraphrase what we've talked about. It seems like it's sort of come to, at least at this point, either a temporary hold or, if not an actual conclusion, if for those who don't know, there's a, you know, the power plant over there, basically Miller Road in Southwest Dearborn, by the railroad tracks, basically Miller Road and Dick's Toledo area kind of thing, had a plan to put in a natural gas or a gas-powered turbine in order to create more energy. They were apparently had enough energy to power the steel plant, but wanted to add this natural gas turbine to be able to sell power to the power grid. Problem with that, of course, was that a lot of people in the neighborhood have been very upset because, admittedly, it was going to add, you know, somewhere in the vicinity of at least 1,000 tons of pollutants to the atmosphere, you know, locally. And I'm not an environmental expert. I don't know where those pollutants go. Do they go to Canada? Do they disperse up into outer space? Mm-hmm. But the whole point being is that, you know, within a couple hundred yards across the railroad tracks, we have an elementary school. We have, you know, this burgeoning Yemeni community, which is based in that area. And people saying, no, really, we do not want this. And trying to find a way to be able to just sort of change this plan so that it didn't happen. So the parent company of this plant, CMS Energy, announced that they are going to cancel their plans to add this natural gas-powered turbine to the power plant that is already there, which, you know, again, people say would have led to a large increase in air pollutants in Dearborn's south end. They said they've pulled the request to the Michigan DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality, for this new air pollution permit to allow them to put more pollutants into the atmosphere at the Dearborn Industrial Generation Plant. That's essentially what it's called. That's, I guess, the formal name for it. A natural gas-fueled facility on Miller Road in the city's south end. After conversations with the MDEQ, community leaders and local stakeholders, the plant decided to review its future plans at the DIG plant and continue discussions with the community about how to move forward. So at a minimum, addressing concerns that people in the community have had. Sure. And obviously, you know, people who oppose it, hoping that this may be some sort of final resolution to these plants.
Right. Well, I know it, and it's beyond just the community at large itself. I know there were representatives, both, you know, former representatives and current people serving in local government, as well as leaders in the community speaking out at the hearing that took place earlier this, middle of last month, mm-hmm. February. Now
yeah,
I got to
get
that in my head.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't know that we know that there's a high level of pollution in that area, certainly because of industry. But apparently, the asthma hospitalization rate, according
correct.
To the article, is 2 times higher than the rest of the state of Michigan.
And
in
I think
that
that's something that really got people's attention.
Oh yeah.
And that if it's already this way, and mm-hmm. and we know that in general, you're not far from a fairly industrial area.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, has its own strengths and weaknesses when it comes to the environmental impact, it becomes an issue. And then, of course, you know, the State Representative Abdullah Hamoud was very, very instrumental in raising awareness about it. Debbie Dingell, who is, of course, representative, you know, for the district, also became involved in the project as well.
Yeah, well, it's good to see that the big industry is listening to the community, at least in not moving forward very quickly and perhaps even aborting altogether. We'll see. Time will tell.
I want to bring up real quick, and this, you know, came to our attention. Granted, it was a relatively warm week, but it looks like we're going back into the mm-hmm. deep freeze for the next week or so, at least. It is still winter and will be for at least another month and a half, right? Mm-hmm. Technically, as far as the calendar is concerned. And that is to make sure that that people know, you know, for either yourselves or for people that you know and care about regarding some of the services that are available as the temperatures stay cold over the next few weeks. And that relates to the Detroit Rescue Mission Ministries, which say that if you know someone who's homeless and needs shelter during cold weather, which, again, applies for the next month and a half, mm-hmm. possibly, that there are, you know, opportunities available to you, both in terms of shelters that are available for people with parents and children, shelters for men only, or shelters for women and children only, and a number of them. And we just wanted to pass along the phone number for Detroit Rescue Mission Ministries, which is 313-999-1972. So 313-999-1972.
We sort of alluded to an event that is actually on exhibit now at the Sisson Gallery. I'd say it's an event. It's really more than just a basic exhibit. It's called We Are Dearborn, and this is a project that is going to be moving through the next couple of months through our friends here at the Sisson Gallery, Steve Glazer and the whole crew over there. And we mentioned, I think, last week about these big photographs that are up, and that's a part of the main exhibit here. And we're talking about the Sisson Gallery, which is right here on campus in the McKenzie Fine Arts Center. That's the F building here at our Evergreen Road campus in Dearborn. And this is a collection of portrait photographs that were taken by the Art 150 students. So that's an art class, a photography class. And they took pictures of a bunch of people, both students and employees and faculty members and people in the community. And the sort of the purpose of this was to just sort of capture Dearborn, capture people that live, work, and sort of play in and around Dearborn.
And study.
And study, that's of course. And as many students are like, yes, we do live here at Henry Ford College because that's what we feel like we do anyway. But ultimately, the purpose of this is to show the world sort of who we are in Dearborn, who we really are. Obviously, the exhibit is hoping to showcase the pride of diversity in the community and wanting sort of the world to know about it. So this is open to the public. Everybody is, of course, invited to be a part of this enjoyment of this exhibit. And I know it's going to be going on for at least another few weeks at the Sisson Gallery. The gallery is open mostly during the week. They do some Saturday openings. I think there's a Saturday opening next. I think it's a week from Saturday, actually. But if you want specifics on times and days to come to the gallery and enjoy this, which is really the inaugural kickoff of We Are Dearborn, they're doing more as we move forward into the late winter. HFC website is hfcc.edu, and you can find a link to the exhibit. Should be wonderful. It's beautiful.
Lot to talk about already, and lots still to come as well. In fact, yes, we live, we work, we study, and we also cook in Dearborn as well, right here on our HFC campus, by the way, with the 5101 restaurant reopening this week for the semester, but also Dearborn Restaurant Week coming up. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes here on the new WHFR Journal.
The 5101 Restaurant is Henry Ford College's innovative on-campus dining experience. The restaurant is operated by students and staff of HFC's Hospitality Studies program and offers a learning experience for the students combined with a delicious and affordable meal for you. The 5101 is open Tuesday through Thursday from 11:15 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Wednesday and Thursday evenings from 6 p.m. to 7:45. Reservations are suggested and can be made at 313-206-5101. That's 313-206-5101. See you soon at HFC's 5101 restaurant.
Young people everywhere are making a difference.
Special Olympics has changed my life so dramatically.
It's helped me a lot to be fearless, you know, in the real world.
My friends I've made through Special Olympics are the best people I've ever met in my life.
I truly realize that what I'm doing is for a great cause.
And it's not about disabilities, but it's about celebrating their abilities.
I've made a difference. Now it's your turn to make a difference.
Get involved at SpecialOlympics.org.
This is the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw, and we bring in Josh Hebert as we do for our sports segments here on the program. Thanks for being with us, and of course, last week we spoke to Chris Shepherd, the basketball coach here at Henry Ford College, to hear about their exciting season.
Indeed.
And now we're going to talk about another exciting season, right?
But first, I do have to mention that the basketball team did win both of their games last week.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. They're now 8-0 in the conference, 17-3 overall.
Okay.
Ranked number 9 in the nation now for Division II in community college.
Right here in little old Dearborn. Considered one of the 10 best teams in the country at this point. And obviously still lots to play for, a lot of games that are still to come. Yeah. And they, you know, are going to try and do their best throughout the rest of the season, right?
They are, next home game is until February 14th, Valentine's Day. Take that special someone out to the Henry Ford Hawks game.
7:30 against St. Clair County Community College, SC4, yes. As we talked about. Yes,
yes it is. Yeah. Coach Shepherd's former college.
Oh, there you go. All right, very good. So that's fantastic for them. Obviously, winter athletics in full swing.
It is.
What else are we here to talk about
today?
We're
also here to talk about the roller hockey's exciting trip this past weekend to Missouri.
Oh.
And we're bringing in goalie Dominic Stankiewicz. How are you doing today, Dominic?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
It's great to see you again, Dominic. Last time we talked, you guys were, the new WHFR Journal audience will excuse my phrase, you guys were kicking butt, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, all right.
Go ahead. And also, you guys were just getting ready for a long break, which you guys actually just came back from.
Yep. We're actually getting ready for a 1 week break, and then we're back at it again in state. So
okay,
it's gonna be a great experience. So
let's talk about this Missouri trip. You guys mentioned it the last time you guys were on with us. You guys just came back last night.
Yep.
How did you guys do down there?
We did great. The first team we played was not honestly what we expected. We thought we were just gonna kind of roll over them at first, but as the game progressed on, we only rolled six guys that game due to a little problem at the start of the weekend. But ended up 6-2 for that game. The second game was another close one against a new D2 team. We honestly just found out the day before we left that we were playing them, so it was a little schedule change. Beat them 5-4. Then we beat the number 4 ranked junior college team 5-4 as well. That's St. Louis Community College. And then we played Missouri D1. Another close battle. We kind of exhausted it. It was the fourth game of the day, so we were a little gassed there. But a 5-4 loss and with 50 seconds left against a Missouri D1 team that's ranked, not too bad.
You mentioned four games in one day.
Yeah.
How do you guys prepare for something like that? Coming at it, normally a lot of energy gets diminished throughout the day. How did you guys prepare for that?
Honestly, just a lot of conditioning before. I don't think we did as much conditioning for other tournaments than we did for this one. A lot of down and backs and while we're skating. We actually used the gym for the first time in a long time, running back and forth. Our coach, he likes to work out a lot, so he knows how to really pump up the energy for us. So I think that helped out a lot. Just a lot of practice, to be honest with you, consistently working on our power play penalty kill, which was it helped us a lot this weekend. We were on the penalty kill a decent amount with dumb penalties, but it was a great weekend. It just took a lot of energy, and I thought we had that all the way through.
3-1 on the weekend. You guys were doing good and were ranked before you guys went on this break. Any update on if you guys are still ranked after the long hiatus?
In our conference in the MCRHL, we're ranked 1 now. We're actually tied for first. I don't know if it's with Miami, Ohio, or Akron. I didn't really take a look at it too well. But junior college-wise, we're still ranked number 3 just because we haven't played the number 1 and number 2 seed because they're from California. So we won't run into them until we go to Nationals. But MCRHL standpoint, it's first place.
Okay. Leaderboards. I noticed you, the entire captains, you, Jake Tomlak, and Eric Holgate, if I'm saying that right, are all ranked high up on those. You for goalies and them for goals, assists. What do you feel is one of the major contributors for that?
It's those two guys, like you said. They both captains with me as well. First line center and wingers. They work well together. They've played for countless years, even in rec league. So I think the chemistry between those two really really stepped it up when we needed it the most. I mean, this was probably the third biggest tournament that we needed to play to get to Nationals. So they really stepped it up when we needed to do it. And as you can see, it really showed. I mean, they're first place on the leaderboard. Same with me. I think our defense, though, we need to step it up there. As you can see, like 400 something saves for me. It's like they shouldn't be getting that many shots per game. So, but those two guys definitely carry the team offensively. No hurting like for the other guys. Like the other guys contribute too, but those are the top two main contributors of our team.
I was gonna say, and I don't know your coach all that well, but you said when we go to Nationals, is that
Oh, yeah, that is solidifying now that we beat the two junior college teams.
All right,
for
okay.
sure. Yep. All right, we're super excited, too.
I'll bet.
So, did you guys know going into this weekend you guys beat these junior colleges? You guys are going for sure, or was there a little bit of a doubt there?
As long as we beat the two junior college teams, I think we knew that we were going to get the bid to go to Nationals, but we wanted to make a statement towards the 1 and 2 junior college teams that we're not playing around, that we could literally handle anyone that's in front of us. So we handled the Maryville team. They were a good team. I can't really say anything bad about them. Their goaltending, I mean, wasn't the greatest, but and then another statement game was the last one. Fourth game of the day, hanging with a D1 Missouri team that's literally a powerhouse. So, and only losing them with 50 seconds left in the third, it's honestly a great feeling, and I think we're going to do pretty well in Nationals against those 1 and 2 seed teams.
You guys were one of the lowest on roster members. Have you guys added anybody since?
We added one new defenseman, Scott Whiting, mid-aged 30. I think he's like 36, to be honest with you, a little older than most of the guys in the league, but he's still a great contributor to defense. I think if we didn't have him, I don't think our defense would be as solid as it was this weekend. I think we would have been a little gassed playing four games with three defensemen, but he did. He played a big, big part in our defense this weekend.
And for listeners, that's probably a big difference.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, what we think of in terms of college sports when we see NCAA teams and stuff like that. These are all mostly kids who are like 18 to 24,
yeah, exactly.
25 years old. It's a little bit different when it comes to this this level of athletics, right?
Yes, exactly. I agree.
We talked about the Missouri trip. Other than Missouri being D1, which one of the other three schools did you say you guys had the toughest time with?
Wow. That's a tough one. It has to be between Maryville and St. Louis. I think to be honest, I think St. Louis was easier than Maryville. I mean, they're a fourth ranked team, like right below us. But I think they only had a few shooters, where Maryville kind of had a spread out all around solid offense and defense. But then again, like every team we played didn't have the strongest goaltending. So I think if they had a strong goaltender, I think the game probably went into overtime. But I think Maryville honestly had to take it for the hardest team, other than Missouri.
Okay. I know you guys are coming back up here to play after this next week hiatus. Have you guys found a home rink yet where you guys are going to be playing? I know Taylor Sportsplex
that is still
has
shut
just
down.
Got it. I thought they just brought that back up.
That's in April. They're bringing it back up. It's supposed to be full time. So I think that'll be our home rink. But as of right now, it's going to be Joe Dumars in Shelby Township. But we're going to still be practicing out of Livonia, just for the time being until Taylor does reopen. So, yep.
Who is the next, like, major opponent that you guys would have, as opposed to you guys have played Miami, Ohio, you guys have played Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, now Missouri this past weekend? Who is the next big one like that you guys have on the radar?
For this, honestly, this upcoming tournament, it's got to be Akron. Great team. Their physical team, which kind of, I think, throws everyone off because roller hockey really isn't that physical. But they got a few big guys. They got a few shooters. We did beat them 8-7 the first time we played them. But I think they're up there in the rankings now. So it's a team we definitely got to beat. But it's like I said, it's going to be a challenge for sure. But I think we're going to handle it no problem. It's an early morning game, but we just got to adjust to the time and play our best.
Knowing being a coach, those early morning games are a little bit tough to get up for.
Yep.
What is going to be something that you guys as a team do to prepare for getting up early to go and face another ranked team in Akron?
Just one thing is just going to bed early, to be honest with you. No partying before that game. Obviously, the night before, we play two teams before that. It's for just honestly going to bed early. I mean, I wouldn't stay up all night with your girlfriend or whatever you got going on over there. But honestly, just going to bed early. Just getting the energy you need for an 8 a.m. game to play one of the top teams in our conference.
Out in Joe Dumas, Roller Hockey Rink. You said that was Shelby Township, right?
Yep.
So what do people who want to come out and watch this game have to know about where it is, how to get in, any of that stuff?
Honestly, it's free to get in. I mean, it's not like, I don't know if our basketball team has, you have to pay free. To get in.
They're free as well.
Honestly, it's Shelby Township. It's a far drive, but it's going to be honestly a great experience, a great atmosphere. There's a lot of stuff to do around there between our breaks and games. Like, honestly, the rink is in a putt-putt course too. So if you bring your family and friends, you might as well go putt-putt while you wait for our 6 o'clock game right after the 2 o'clock one. But yeah, it's free. It's fun entertainment, and I mean, there's a lot of great teams playing in that weekend. And it's good time to learn about roller hockey.
Any of you guys going to be playing putt-putt preparing for the next game?
Personally, I think I'm going to hit the arcade. I don't think I'm going to do putt-putt, but I'm more of an arcade kind of guy.
Okay.
For sure.
Going into this final stretch before you guys reach nationals, what do you feel that you guys need to prepare to get better for that stage?
I think the penalty situation is more what we need to focus on. I think penalties throughout all of our tournaments really killed us. A lot of goals came from that. Nothing against our penalty kill, because we have one of the best penalty kills in the league. But pretty much just dumb penalties and not holding our temper in as well as I want it to be. But honestly, just that. Our power play, too, needs to step it up, too. I think we're honestly one of the worst. We don't score that many goals on the power play just because I just think our chemistry is just a little bit off so that we don't score that many. But just those two things, so power play and then temper control, to be honest, is going to help us win nationals.
Who would you like to see in nationals that you guys are looking up at in the standings with the other two junior colleges?
Definitely Saddleback. They're a good team. They're a big team. I think all their guys are above 6 foot. So compared to our team, we got a few smaller guys. So you got like me, and then all of our second liners are literally under 6 foot. So I think that's going to play a big part of it. I mean, they're a number one team. We're a number three. I hope to upset them. Hopefully we play them in round robin, not like first elimination, because I kind of wouldn't want to leave early just in case we do lose and we come out slow. But definitely Saddleback is the one I want to play for sure. I think everyone on the team would say that too.
And where are nationals, by the way?
North Dakota, Fargo.
That's a long bus ride. Ooh, I'm assuming you're not chartering a jet or anything like that.
We're taking a plane.
Oh, you are. Okay.
That's a plus. Yeah. No bad bus rides this time.
Good. All right.
You guys aren't going to be filming any episodes of Fargo while you guys are out in Fargo,
I might do that. I might film a little bit, but I don't know. It's a slight chance.
My other tip on the trip to Akron, Swenson's drive-thru, sauerkraut balls. And great burgers.
I agree.
It's an Akron thing, you know.
We have about, you said that your season ends in April.
Yeah.
Last time.
Yep.
We have a few more months before that. It just rolling over to February today, by the way.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What is the plan going forward? How many more regular season games do you have before April rolls around here?
I think about 7 to 10 more games. I know we have 3 and the Joe Dumars tournament, and then the weekend we go to Chicago is really like a toss up. It's either 3 or 4 there. And then I think we have the regional tournament. So might be it. That again is a toss up depending on if we get eliminated or not, if we make it to the finals. But I would say like 7 to maybe 15 games, actually, to be honest with you.
Regionals aren't here in Michigan, are they?
They are at Joe Dumars, too.
Okay.
As well.
So you guys get a little bit of that home cooking for regionals.
Yeah, I hope everyone comes out. That'd be nice. Get a big crowd, big Henry Ford Hawks crowd. See us win the regionals.
Thanks for coming in again.
Thank you guys for having me. It was a pleasure.
Hopefully you guys finish out the regular season strong. We'll be watching for you guys out in North Dakota.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you again. I appreciate it.
It's the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw. We'll be back with more in just a moment, and go Hawks.
If classical is your genre, WHFR is the place to be in the late night hours until 10 a.m. 7 days a week. From Beethoven and Mozart to Bach and Brahms, let it lull you to sleep at night and wake you up in the morning. Or for you night owls, enjoy the soothing sounds of classical music all night long. 89.3 FM or WHFR.FM on your computer. Make WHFR the station for classical.
Welcome to this edition of the new WHFR Journal. In this segment, we have the pleasure to have, one of the gals here on campus of Henry Ford College that is always so on the cutting edge of what's coming up next. And what's coming up next, and what literally has just started the past couple of days, is the month of February, and that means Black History Month. Henry Ford College, I think, is getting more and more well known for providing a variety of different events to celebrate Black History Month, to educate and inform and engage students. We are joined in studio with that woman herself, Ms. Cassandra Fluker, who is the Director of Student Activities here at Henry Ford College. And Cassandra, just looking at the list, you've outdone yourself this year. Oh my goodness, this is amazing. And we're so glad to have you here today. Thanks for being
here. Thank you, Susan. It's a pleasure being here with you.
Certainly. Tell us a little bit about what goes into putting together the schedule for something as sort of grand as a full month to celebrate and honor the legacy of Dr. King and Black history in general terms as well.
Well, it does take time. And my staff and I, we put together a robust schedule of activities for Black History Month. And I'm proud to say that Henry Ford College proudly celebrates and recognizes Black History Month. So what I do, I speak with faculty members, I speak with students on things that they would like to take place on the Henry Ford campus. Okay, and then we just come up with the schedule. Of course, I have to do advanced planning, making contacts, waiting for them to call back, agreeing on a date and time for the activities. So it's a number of things that go into it when we set up these activities during Black History Month and beyond.
Okay. Would you say between last year Black History Month celebration and this year's celebration, you tweak things, you adjust things based on what was maybe more successful or what there's more demand for? A year is a big. There's a lot that goes on, and there's a lot that's gone on in this past month for crying out loud.
This past year.
Yeah, yes. There you go. So I'm guessing that these are not only time sensitive to the fact that it's February, but sort of timely in terms of what's happening right now in our culture.
That is true. And I am very excited with this year's lineup. Each year it's something different, and it depends on the student population and, like you say, current issues. Last year we had a number of forums. We had a scholarship forum, we had a business forum, and also a media forum to try to attract African Americans to journalism. Mm-hmm.
So I remember that. It was wonderful. In fact, yeah, really very powerful, very profound. So is there sort of a theme, sort of a subtext, a sub-theme going on through the course of this one this year?
Usually I have a theme. Not this year, though. We put together some things that we thought the students would benefit from. Yeah.
That's a pretty good theme.
Yeah.
The most important theme, in fact. So, yeah. Oh, very good. Yeah. Well, I suppose I could pick and choose at my favorites. And I know, Alan, you've been perusing this list here for a while, too. They all just sound so good, so different. But maybe we should just begin at the beginning.
Okay.
I think it might make the most sense. Let's go chronological, Cassandra, and just let us know. We should also mention that while these are primarily designed for members of the college community, open to the public as well?
Yes, they are. And all are free of charge, too.
Excellent.
All activities are free of charge and open to the community. Where we're going to kick off Black History Month with the presentation. It's going to be dynamic and it's going to be informative. The title of it is a mouthful. It's entitled The Intersection of African American History and Contemporary Cultural and Political Encapsulation, which is a mouthful. The speaker came up with that title. And what the speaker would do, he would incorporate and or reflect on Black history to improve the quality of lives for all citizens. Okay, so he's going to speak on immigration laws, civil rights, and other current issues that apply to all populations. Okay. Our speaker is Dr. Demetrius Ford. He has a law degree. He has 2 doctorates. He's an ordained minister. And he's currently a practicing clinical psychologist.
Wow.
Okay, so he works with a number of different populations and try to, you know, work with them to heal them.
Nice.
So he's going to bring a lot to this presentation, and I'm looking forward to hearing it myself.
Right. And again, what's the day and time on that particular
The day
one?
And time is Thursday, February 8th from 11 o'clock to 12:30, and it will take place in ASCC Building L, Rosenau Conference Rooms.
Okay. Do we need to call ahead or reserve anything for,
no,
for this?
No, just
or,
come on just, out.
People can just come on pop out. In at the last minute, yes. And say, yeah, I'd like to be a part of this.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And Okay. Hopefully they do come to get all of this information.
It's right. Such an intriguing title because, I mean, literally we talk about, you know, looking at the title, the intersection of African-American history and contemporary culture is literally, you know, the intersection of American history culture.
Yes,
it really is a very intriguing concept, you know, for this talk, right?
Exactly. Yep. Most people think that Black history is just for African-Americans. No, Black history is part of American history and is relevant to everyone. So he wanted to make sure I put that in the title, relevant to all populations in the United States.
Right. Yeah. It's not really an intersection. It's sort of like a, you know, it's a merge ramp, right?
Yes, it
where we're all on the same road for, you know, whatever the future of America holds.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
All right. Exactly.
Yeah. Nice. And the word encapsulation, I think, it sort of ties it all together, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Encapsulation.
Very nice. I haven't heard that word in a while.
So. I haven't either, actually.
That's a good one.
So it's a way to respond to diversity and our social justice needs.
Great. So. It's not all hardcore, heavy, school-y kind of discussions, though, because I know we've got some music moving forward in terms of events and so on. What else do we have?
We have Upreason Steel Drum Band, and they're going to perform a set of jazz and contemporary music from the Caribbean islands. I had this group here before, maybe 2 years ago, and it was well-received by the student population at that time in the pavilion. So I thought I would bring them back and give the students diversity when it comes to music. Nice. So the music is soothing and enjoyable.
Yeah. Who doesn't like a steel drum band, for crying out loud? I mean, really.
And then that Caribbean sound.
In the middle of February.
Yes.
Very good. So that's Tuesday, February 13th, 1 until 2 o'clock, right here in the Student Center in the M.
Yes. And I also want to point out that that's part of our Around the World concert series. And we offer this each semester, 2 to 3 times per semester. And it represents a country or a culture.
Okay, very good. So it's not just bringing a random group in to sort of do something. There's a sort of a deeper purpose for their presence on
exactly.
the campus. Nice.
Exactly. Very, to expose students to diversity.
Nice.
Well, and for Black History Month, obviously the, you know, African diaspora, you know, in coming into this part of the world is a big part of the story as well, whether it's Caribbean, which, you know, I mean, America is greater as a concept than just the United States of America as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep, so we're going beyond the United States.
Oh, nice. And then we get into my love of pop culture, and we bring some film into the thing.
Oh, yes.
That's
we're
going
to have
exciting.
A film screening.
Woohoo!
That's going to take place Thursday, February 15th, 6 o'clock. We're going to show Hidden Figures. So this is based on a true story, and it's about 3 female African-American mathematicians. They are actually human computers. Yeah, and they played a vital role in NASA during the 60s. So I saw it myself, and I was very impressed with their talents. So we're going to offer free popcorn, free pizza, and the admission is free.
Wow, very nice. Again, that's Thursday, February 15th, starting at 6 o'clock, and it's going to be right here in this building. Will it be out in the in the pavilion area?
Yes.
We got a lot of light in that pavilion. You're going to... hopefully it'll
o'clock.
Be dark. Yeah.
Yeah. 6 o'clock.
I was
going to
say, this time of year, I think we're still going to be a little dark.
Yeah. Yes, it
is. And of course, Octavia Spencer nominated for an Oscar award this year for her role in The Shape of Water. Mm-hmm. And Janelle Monet, who also appears in the film with truly a rousing speech at the Grammy Awards, which if you watched it over the last weekend, I guess it was Sunday night or whatever. I mean, two figures that just really propel this film and really are just very captivating.
And I want to point out that Hidden Figures, it was also nominated for Best Picture.
Correct.
Best Picture Award.
Nice. That movie came out last Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I remember seeing it on that day. And I was in an audience with, it was actually primarily African-American customers. Mm-hmm. And then I was there with a friend. And I have never felt more connected. Mm-hmm. It was just the coolest experience. I mean, most people don't applaud during movies. I like to do that when things, but the sense of energy in the room and the feeling of just support. I love, we had spontaneous applause at like three, you probably know the parts I'm talking about. Yes. At like three or four, I don't want to give anything away, but it was just the coolest experience to see that movie. So while we maybe can't recreate that, we still, we're going to do it. And present this film. Everybody needs to see this movie.
I agree.
So good. And for free with pizza and popcorn.
And for free, right here. Can't ask for anything more.
You had me at pizza.
Oh, you say a whole pizza, Alan.
That's funny. We'll talk about that another time. But when we talk about the concept of how much people truly understand, grasp, and know on the subject of Black History, Black History Month, and Black History in general, we're going to test that knowledge with a trivia event, aren't we?
Yes, we are, with Black History Trivia. So a number of questions will be African-American first. Yeah, we're going to have 10 rounds of asking questions, and whoever wins receive a prize. So we're going to have gift cards, t-shirts, HFC mugs, and other paraphernalia.
Nice. So again, that's Wednesday, the 21st of February, from 11 to 12:30, and that's in the administration building.
Right.
Right next door, building.
Yeah, I wanted to incorporate something fun for the students. They can learn while they have fun.
Yeah.
And even earn.
Yeah, maybe win a little something.
Yeah.
For their knowledge. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. And then just the next day, we move into a wellness kind of an event?
Yeah. Thursday, February 22nd, and Friday, February 23rd, we're going to have a two-day heart health clinic. Okay. As you may know, during February, African Americans, they have a high rate of heart disease and hypertension. So I thought it'd be a good idea to add this into the schedule so people can come out and get free blood pressure checks. Okay.
Nice.
I have students who are graduating from our nursing program perform the service. They also would take, check your body mass, BMI, and also provide screenings for depression.
Interesting. Will people need to provide anything? Will they need a driver's license?
Or
no medical information?
We don't need to see any documentation.
Nice. They can just come on in then.
Just come on in.
Okay.
Get your blood pressure checked. Receive some information. And hopefully take care from that.
Yeah, good. So that's, again, Thursday the 22nd and Friday the 23rd of February, from noon until 2 o'clock right here in the Student Center building.
Yes.
Right here on the campus of Henry Ford College.
Yes.
Great, great, great. And then we're going to wrap it up with something big in the library, huh?
Oh, yes.
Woo.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have Dr. Cheryl Holloway, who is the author of the Black Woman's Breast Cancer Survivor Guide, and she's going to speak on her personal experience as a cancer survivor and provide information and advice on beating breast cancer. So this is going to be a very fascinating program, and I believe she's going to have books, too, to sign.
Yeah, I'm impressed that you got her to come in and do this.
The library brought her in.
Ah, well, then that the library was able to get her. She's incredibly dynamic. Oh, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah.
And as we know, breast cancer is not just a female issue, so the topic is open to everyone.
Yes,
she is kind
as
of
well.
Yes, and she is sort of focusing on the women's health, but it's certainly open to everybody. And again, while there won't necessarily be screenings going on like that, I'm sure lots of advice on prevention techniques
and
so on.
Yes, she has a fascinating story. Yeah, I read about her online, and I'm like, oh, I have to go and meet Dr. Holloway.
Mm. Very nice. So again, that's Monday, the 26th of February, from 10 o'clock until 1 in the afternoon at our Eshelman Library. It's Building B right here on our campus. Oh, my God, there's so much going on. We don't expect that our listeners, Alan, are writing all this down right now. We know that. So really, it's kind of designed to get people to think about what might be interesting to them. So if you're hearing, oh, I want to do the movie, or I like one of the steel drum band, or the heart health, or whatever, just know that it's coming up. And if you want to look at your calendar and find a place where all this stuff is listed, so we can have our listeners actually write it down so that they're going to maybe make it on time and on the right day, where should we send them to get all of this?
Send them to HFC website.
It's which right is there. hfcc.edu. If you go there, I think it's going to be hard to miss, because last I checked, it was one of the top stories that was up there in terms of, you know, things that are coming up here on campus.
All the programs and activities are listed on our homepage.
Excellent.
So just click on it, see what you want to come to, attend. You know, you're more than welcome.
Excellent. So all through the month of February. And, you know, Cassandra, we know that our students are going to so thoroughly benefit from this availability of information. When it comes to inviting the community to come in, what might be a special little push to say, come on and try this stuff. Try something.
I think pizza helps, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, food always helps.
That's true.
Just plain old knowledge.
Absolutely.
Plain old knowledge. Come and get informed.
Yeah. A wise person once said, knowledge is power, right?
And yes. Knowledge is power.
Isn't that a thing? Mm-hmm. Oh, very good. Well, we know you've been busy.
It's a chance for, you know, students and people on campus to, you know, take part in a series of, you know, noteworthy events, but also for the public to be able to come here as well. And we know that, you know, with, you know, a commuter population in terms of the students, there's challenges to get people back here to come to events sometimes. What do we need to do to make sure, other than, you know, obviously being here on the radio, make sure that that students know that these things are available?
Well, we have our student newspaper that's packed with information in the community and here at the college. And we also have a calendar of events. So that's another source where they can get information and hopefully come to Henry Ford College.
Very nice. And certainly keep listening to WHFR. We will make sure that we have these up on our console. So as the events happen week to week, we will certainly let our listeners know about the next one coming up and so on.
Oh, that would be great. And I just want to point out that all the activities through the Office of Student Activities are free of charge and open to the community.
Very nice.
So I think that's very important, being a college within Dearborn.
Yeah, certainly. If somebody has a specific question for you, Cassandra, about any of these events or anything, you know, bigger than what we've got going on here, how can they reach you?
Oh, they can reach me via email, crfluker, that's crfluker, at hfcc.edu, or they can call the office at 313-845-9838.
Very nice.
It all starts next Thursday, just after 11 a.m., 11:10 a.m. to be exact, in the Mazzara Administrative Services Conference Center with the lecture, The Intersection of African-American History and Contemporary Culture and Political Encapsulation. Again, more details available at hfcc.edu, but I think that's going to be on my calendar here. Yeah.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well done, Cassandra. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Alan. I really appreciate it.
Likewise. We're glad that you were able to give us a little additional insight beyond the printed page here, and we know it's going to be a wonderful month. And however you choose to celebrate Black History Month, these are some options, and we look forward to continuing to provide opportunities for you to learn more about this subject, very important subject, as well as others moving forward here at Henry Ford College. So stay with us. This is the new WHFR Journal. We've got more to come.
Hey America, we're your pets, and this song's dedicated to those people who don't have health insurance yet.
In Rome, we say, we want you to be okay. In Rome, we say, take care people for goodness sake.
There's a plan for every budget, so don't accept defeat. Now you can get covered and still
buy me treats.
Enroll!
So listen to me, a talking pug, you see. If you get health insurance, preventive care is now free.
So sweet.
You take care of your pets. Now it's their turn to take care of you.
Visit GetCoveredAmerica.org to learn about your health insurance options. That's GetCoveredAmerica.org.
And take care, people!
Brought to you by Get Covered America and the Ad Council.
It's the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. Thanks, Josh Hebert, for joining us today as well to talk more roller hockey. And congratulations to the team. I mean, making it to nationals and obviously still some more games to play throughout the rest of the season as well. Of course, we've entered the month of February. How are we doing on the New Year's resolutions?
I'll get back to you.
Okay. I was going to say, if everyone's had a good January and they've stuck to the program, here's something that you can use to maybe have a little bit of an indulgence in a couple of weeks, and that's going to be Eat, Eat, Repeat, the Dearborn Restaurant Week coming up in just a few days, actually.
That's right. They're doing sort of the press preview early in the week next week, and then we look forward to having a couple of representatives from this this collaboration of restaurants in the community to talk with us next week about some of the details. But we just wanted to mention it is coming up. Last year's was very successful. I have restaurants on the brain, and I understand that even more restaurants participating this year, and really ultimately this is designed to really promote Dearborn, to promote
Absolutely.
Eating in Dearborn, right? They have the Downtown Dearborn Promotions Committee and other organizations, the West and East Dearborn associations and so on, are really partnering to just get the word out about what's available for restaurants opportunities. This is not just for the community of Dearborn, of course, it's for the outskirts as well, to bring people into the area that might not normally consider dining in Dearborn.
Over 35 participating restaurants, some of them inherently healthy, others maybe not so much, but I'm sure even all of them have some healthy options for you as well. And it really does run the gamut across, you know, both the geographic scope of Dearborn and the culinary scope of Dearborn as well. And in addition to their regular menus, and we're going to talk about this again next week, a lot of them are going to have, you know, fixed course menus available at different price options and things like that. So DearbornRestaurantWeek.com is the website if you want to get a little advance information on that.
Nice. We have an opportunity to do a meet and greet with our newly elected Dearborn and Dearborn Heights public officials. This information courtesy of the League of Women Voters, Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, Mary Jo Duravage and the gang. And this event takes place Thursday, February 15th, so a week from Thursday. And it's going to be happening at the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce Community Room, which is the first floor of the Bryant Library at Mason and Michigan Avenue. So on Thursday, February 15th, between 4:30 and 6 o'clock, you'll have an opportunity to meet with some of the newly elected or re-elected members of our Dearborn and Dearborn Heights city government. Dearborn City Clerk George Duraney, council members from Dearborn, Aaron Burns, Leslie Herrick, Dearborn Heights council members, Bill Bazzi, Denise Malinowski, Maxwell, and Tom Wenzel, as well as returning city officials, will be on hand to meet residents. It's really a great opportunity for community members to introduce themselves to officials, and again, most of them serving for the first time, as well as maybe to throw some questions to the more seasoned officials as well. This is free, it is open to the public, and what a nice opportunity for some one-on-one time with your local officials. As I always say, the, you know, national elections, the state elections and things, those are of course always important, and everybody's all crazy, the president's going to change my life. It's those local people that are helping to run your community that have the biggest impact on us as individuals. It
right.
really is. So get to know them as well as you think you know some of those other officials, and have an opportunity to ask some questions. Just share some words of thanks and praise. That's always, I'm sure, a welcome component as well. But they're there. They're going to take some questions and talk to you Thursday, the 15th of February. And one of the people that's going to
Actually,
be here
I was going to say,
I
thought there was a name that sounded familiar there.
Yeah.
Bill Bazzi, councilman in Dearborn Heights, instrumental in something that's going to be taking place in the Dearborn Heights City Council. They voted just last week to refer for discussion a medical marijuana ordinance, for a study session. Councilman Ray Muscat put the ordinance on the meeting agenda, but it was Bill Bazzi who asked for a specific study session that was related to it. They haven't set an exact date for it, but the reason for this, of course, is that under the Medical Marijuana Act, Act of, what was it, 2016, I think it was, cities can adopt ordinances where they decide the type of licenses allowed in a city, how many medical marijuana facilities they want in their city, where they can or cannot be located, spacing requirements and zoning issues and all sorts of things. And the fact is that here we are, you know, in 2018 now, and this is a community that's saying, okay, we don't have any of these things on the book. We need to be able to look at what we could possibly do. Mm-hmm. And what kinds of limitations we could have, because again, because this is available now, there's no doubt that there is some interest in the community. And it's not just, you know, when we think of medical marijuana, it's not just dispensaries, but it's also, you know, production facilities, if you think of it that way, as far as an industry, places that, you know, can grow, cultivate, and also distribute, you know, a product that has been, if not fully legalized, at least decriminalized in for certain purposes when it comes to this particular Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act, which was passed by the state legislature in 2016. So I think it's just a beginning step towards being able to address these kinds of issues in terms of when and where and what kind of limitations the city should be able to place on these things, because obviously questions are being asked, people have interest in, you know, being able to participate in you know, the use of marijuana for these particular purposes, and what kind of things can we do in our community to make sure that we're upholding the letter of the law, mm-hmm. but also, you know, trying to figure out when and where we want these types of things being. So this is, you know, something, again, a date hasn't been set for it, but hopefully will be soon. And they're going to just sort of start exploring and discussing these issues moving forward. So.
Interesting. So if you feel strongly for or against that topic,
well, and that's,
or
and that's,
others.
That's yeah. obviously a part of it as
sure,
well,
sure.
is being, you know, able to invite public discussion
right.
on it. And I think that, you know, both of them are very upfront saying that, you know, that this is not about, you know, saying what we are or we aren't going to do.
Right.
Let's just explore it, figure out what the public climate is. It's been going on in cities, in communities, in counties across the state of Michigan, and will continue to do so well into the future, obviously.
Yeah. If you want to have a little discussion on that at the forum and on the 15th of February, it really is more of a meet and greet and not so much of a big community
exactly.
you know,
yeah,
forum.
Right.
But
let's give Councilman Bazzi a little bit of a break there. He's just getting his feet wet, new in office, and just go say
That's
hi
right.
and let him and then leave the rest of that for a future date. Right?
Yeah, but it is a rare opportunity. And the League of Women Voters, nonpartisan organization, they encourage these types of you know, events, and they encourage active participation in local government, city government, to try to help us as individuals, citizens, understand public policy issues and also influence public policy through education, advocacy. And it sounds like that's what Mr. Bazzi is trying to sort of tap into as well. So that's interesting. We have, oh boy, speaking of interesting, we have an opportunity to learn so much more about the past history of Dearborn than more than ever with a new book that's coming out. And you've maybe heard about this, Alan, but it is a new book called Lost Dearborn.
Hmm.
And it's been written by a lifetime Dearborn resident by the name of Craig Hutchinson. And he has amazing photographs as well as history insight in this new publication. And it is all about sort of what buildings used to be standing here when, you know, 50 years ago or however many years ago, even longer than that, historically in Dearborn, and why did they get torn down and when did this new one come up, and so on. And this just sounds like a really exciting publication. Interesting tidbits as well as an enlightening experience. And so the title of the book, Lost Dearborn, really, I think, sort of serves the mission of, or the hope of, the purpose of writing this book. And Hutchinson explains in an article in the Times Herald newspaper written by Zainab Najim, his hope for the publication is to serve as a way to tell and protect the legacy for those who knew Dearborn and who want to know more, of course, about Dearborn's history. So what is your earliest recollection of Dearborn, would you say?
It has to start with Greenfield Village. I mean, to be honest with you, probably the first time I was there. My mom worked there when I was very young. And basically, I always say we spent our summer vacations there. when she was working during the day, we knew everybody. We sort of had free reign of the place. Free boat rides, free train rides. What could go wrong? And just, you know, in terms of, you know, growing up, that's probably one of the first things that I think of.
Nice. Well, the book itself took Hutchinson about 18 months to complete. He was asked by a publishing company if he wanted to research and publish something on this topic. And he loves writing and decided to do it. And he talks actually about his inspiration of Greenfield Village
there as well.
So I think many people will probably have that as a response. In the book, there will be about 80 photographs detailing different buildings, as well as, again, insight as to when and why and so on about their history. And Hutchinson himself is a volunteer who maintains the Dearborn Historical Museum's website. So that's his connection to history in Dearborn. He's also a freelance writer, has worked for the Ford Estate, the Henry Ford, Wayne County Parks, and, of course, the Dearborn Historical Museum. If you want more information about the book, it is available pretty much at all the, you know, retailers and so on. But I'm going to give you an email address to Craig directly. It is Craig E. Hutchison, HUTCHISON, @gmail.com.
And if Wiesel Bookstore was still around, then we'd be able to go there. Wiesel was the one on Ford Road and Beach Daily in Dearborn Heights.
I remember that one.
I'm thinking about it. Okay. But yeah, Little Professor, you'd be able to go to copy of it. But
I love the smell of that store. Yeah, so musty and yummy.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw.
And we are so thankful for you being a part of this event. As always, if you have interest in hearing about a particular topic or having us cover something that might be going on locally in the community, let us know. Go to our website, whfr.fm. We wish you a warm and a wonderful weekend.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Hi, this is Mike Holloway, host of the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway Show. College radio means to me the freedom to play what we want to without any required playlist. The world to me. My main criteria is I like to play the music that I like to dance to. Well, I call my baby. Come on home, she's waiting.